AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news as United admit a big mistake, which is going to cause Ruben Amorim problems in the midfield. We've also got Joshua Zirkzee heading to Italy, James Garner heading back to Manchester United, Man City entering the race for a midfield target for Manchester United as well. What's going on with the share price, and we look ahead to a big weekend for Manchester United. Actually, it's quite a weird one this morning. We've actually got quite a lot. Well, for a new show, it's good. We've got a lot going on. But I was a couple of minutes late, not because I've got a fresh trim, but because I've got something very big to reveal for the community. You may see it in the live chat. You may see it pinned. But our new Christmas jumper is available for pre-order. Link in the description or go to United Stand Shopify. I think this is the best one we've ever done. It sort of hits on some of my favorite color themes, and I just think it's amazing. Here we go. It's brilliant. I just love the colors. Love the colors. On the back there, you've got that as well. It sort of encapsulates something a little bit different. But my favorite United colors. And as I say, it's available now to pre-order worldwide. And I'm going to wear it on the 8 o'clock preview show tonight. So yes, you can get it now. We only do a limited number. They are knitted jumpers. These are, let me just show you that is a knitted jumper. So we do the normal printed jumpers, but these are the limited edition runs that we do every year. And this is a knitted jumper available to pre-order now worldwide. When they're gone, they're gone. So get involved in that. Lovely stuff. Okay, so let's get into the show. What are we going to talk off with? Well, the title this morning is Sorry, Amorim Transfer Mistake, but it's not Ruben Amorim that's made this mistake. I think over this international break and before, even through the summer, we have enough evidence now to say that I don't actually think our recruitment team has done a good job. Opened the floodgates, but I don't. I actually think that there is almost something that gets called out a lot around our ownership, around Sir Jim Ratcliffe, around the Glazers. But I think it needs calling around our recruitment team as well, whether that be Jason Wilcox, Omar Barada, whoever. They actually haven't done a good job. And the scrutiny is never on them. It's always on Amorim or Sir Jim. It's never on them. And I think at this point, it's very, very clear when you listen to the journalist interviews that we've had over this international break and other comments from other journalists over the summer, Man United dropped the ball majorly on that midfield. We're hearing this morning that Brighton will not be selling Belaba in January without a ridiculous fee, which we walked away from in the summer. We know that Crystal Palace are going to do the same. We know that Nottingham Forest are going to do the same with Elliot Anderson. So the chances of Manchester United buying a midfielder in January are minuscule. And that, again, will go back to the failing of the summer. Now, I saw something this morning, which I will shout out, which I just want to just throw in as a sort of added piece here. I can't remember who it was who tweeted it. EBL, they are on X. Manchester United have got no left winger, no long-term number six, no left-sided centre-half that can play in a back four because of Ruben Amorim's idea. Also overstacked with number 10s, but short on number eights. If he leaves, the club will have to spend a lot of money to go back to a back four. Big issues. And you know what? It's true. I feel like we're in a bit of a halfway house at the moment with United because they've not fully committed to Amorim. And if they get rid of Amorim, where they might have to because they haven't fully committed to him, that problem presents itself as well. And I think it's a great point. I think it's one many of you have mentioned before. But look, I think that there is this hope and belief, and I have it as well, that we might go and buy a midfielder in January. But I sort of look at it and go, who's that going to be? The club made a decision in the summer that we didn't need to do it. Now, I don't for one minute think Ruben Amorim was sat there going, we don't need a midfielder. I think he did want a midfielder. But I think the club decided against it. Now, that might have been financial pressure. That could have been Omar Berada saying we haven't got any money. Could have been Jason Wilcox and Ruben Amorim saying we need a midfielder. We don't know the detail because they don't talk. They just don't talk. But the reality is, in the final 2 days of the window, we tried to get Conor Gallagher. 2 weeks before that, we tried to get Carlos Baleba. We ended up with nothing. They made a mistake. They need to own that mistake. They made a huge mistake. It's already costing us goals this season. We've seen Bruno Fernandes twice cost us goals in the midfield. And there are probably other situations where Casemiro, you know, et cetera, maybe even Mainu, maybe even Ugarte. I'm not saying they're the answer, but we are definitively short in that area. And we've made a massive mistake. And we're not going to resolve that mistake in January based on the fees for the players that we want to go for. And also, we're very unlikely to go for stopgaps. I mean, the stopgaps were there. Paulinho from Bayern Munich is doing a great job at Spurs and they don't even need a midfielder. And they could, Man United could have done that. So I think from what we've heard from people like Fabrizio Romano, David Ornstein, Ben Jacobs, Rob Dawson, even last week, we've heard that it wasn't Amorim's decision to not buy a midfielder. Now, we're probably never going to get the clarity on whose decision it was, but it's a big mistake and it causes big problems. And when you read that as well, there's a bigger picture at play here, and that bigger picture is that we're about to play football games again. We're not in a mini international break where there's no accountability and every opinion can be right because there's nothing to prove it wrong. We're about to go back into the territory of evidence now, where results will prove people right or wrong. And if things go tits up and Amorim gets the sack, then I would agree with that. We haven't got any wingers. We haven't got any long-term midfielders. It would be very, very difficult for a new manager to come in anyway, regardless. It's a very, very difficult job. Even if you went and got someone who plays a 3-4-3, they still need players. But if we go back to a 4-3-3, you could argue we need more players. I mean, this is just tremendously brilliant vision by whoever, you know, put this plan in place, isn't it? Let's go for a 3-4-3 coach and half do a job so that if we need to sack him, we've got to do a massive job to go back to a 4-3-3 or keep spending on the 3-4-3. It's a halfway house. And that's why try and build something if you can't bloody afford it. But I think it's a great point because Amorim still needs a lot of players for his system. And if we abandon this system or have to abandon this system, you could argue, I mean, I suppose in a sentence, what I'm saying is, they've made massive mistakes in the summer that are probably going to hurt us every week this season. And if they are forced into making a change with the manager, you could argue that Amorim probably needs another 300 million to half a billion to spend to make us a challenge. I would argue if we go back to a 4-3-3, you might need a little bit more than that. In fact, you might need a lot more than that because I don't know where the wingers are coming from to go back to a 4-3-3. So, yeah, look, I think it's an error. I think it's a mistake. And I don't think we'll get any accountability for that. But the reason it's worth mentioning is because there is absolutely zero pressure. And I want to ask this. Look, this is not a witch hunt. You know, leave that for 2 weeks' time on Halloween. Why is it there is no scrutiny on a CEO and a director of football who arguably have created this mess?
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your area jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Who is making the decisions at Manchester United? Because if the CEO and the director of football are safe, it must be someone else making the decisions and making the mistakes. Because I don't think Sir Jim Ratcliffe is the sort of guy that if Berardi was involved in this, he wouldn't have sacked him. So it makes me think that the bad decisions go a little bit higher than that. Give you your thoughts on that one anyway, but unlikely that Man United are going to be buying a midfielder in January. Brighton will want the same fee that they wanted before. Brighton, Crystal Palace are going to want 70 for Wharton and don't want to do it in January. Even this morning, there's a report coming in, I think it's from the Mail, that Man City are plotting a 75 million bid for Elliot Anderson next summer. Chelsea, Man United also interested. I mean, look, I don't want to add to the conversation, although that's exactly what we're here for. Is this not the problem that I think I or some of you agreed with me? Certainly, I remember saying it. When we didn't get Belaba, I remember saying, the problem we've got here is that everybody had spent their budget, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal, and we went for Belaba right at the end of the window. And I thought the timing of it, and I remember saying this, the timing of this is excellent because we've actually gone late in the window. We've gone big, and it's a player that a lot of clubs would like. I would argue that he'd be on the radar of PSG, Real Madrid, as well as the top English clubs. And we left it late in the window. And I thought, this is amazing because we're a club that's finished 15th. We've got a bit of a pull because we're Manchester United, but we don't have Champions League football. It only takes one of Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, PSG, Real Madrid to come in. And that becomes a very difficult deal for us to do. So I was like, this is great. This is a brilliant bit of business because we've left it late. Everyone else has spent their budgets. We've got a free run at this. All we've got to do is get the fee done with Brighton. Obviously, we didn't do that. I remember saying, like, well, we've gone from greatness to stupidness here, because when we try and get him next year, everybody knows we want him. Everybody knows Brighton are willing to sell him. And suddenly, Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, PSG, Real Madrid, etc., their summer budgets are revitalized. And that becomes a more difficult deal to do. And I think this is really important as well. When you're talking about Wharton, you're talking about Anderson, you're talking about Stiller, you're talking about Belaba. There's seven or eight clubs better than us with better prospects, with the money. It doesn't matter whether there's four or five good midfield targets next summer. Look, Sesko was option five for us, and we did well, but we might not get away with that in the summer. And this is what worries me about the midfield. I think it's a massive mistake. I think we've made a massive mistake. And I unfortunately don't subscribe to the view that, oh yeah, we've got the pick of midfielders next summer, because I think that's because we live in a Man United bubble. What about every other club? That's my thoughts on it. Let me just grab some of your thoughts on this, because there's quite a lot to go through this morning. Hope you're all doing well. So, morning, everyone. Send you all love, Glazers out, and prayers for Sunday, says NJ. Come on, United, says CC. And MMA Takedown says your builders are moving slower than Ineos. And Tom Colvin says pre-ordered the jumper, got it for the last 3 years here in Perth. I think it's the best one yet, Tom. Thank you very much for that. Could you do a chart show for the five worst players, says Marlo. Nah, I'm not really motivated by that sort of shit, to be honest. I can't stand Marlo. I like Marlo. I can't stand Marlo. You know what? I can't stand the top 10 worst signings of the season. Yeah, I can't stand. I think it's there used to be magazines in the 90s, like, you know, Nuts. And yeah, it basically played to the low intellect of men and maybe women as well. Maybe they read it. I don't know. But my point is, I just find that type of content quite low hanging fruit. It's like my dad's better than your dad sort of crap. Although at 2 o'clock, join me live where I do who was better, Manchester United or Arsenal ever. No, I'm joking. I try not to do that sort of stuff. Who else is actually having a good feeling about Liverpool? I hope I don't eat my words, says TTV. Me. We're live at 8 o'clock with our preview tonight. Looking forward to it. And I'll wear the Christmas jumper. And Christopher says, the only hope I have is Glazers may want to enjoy some billions and age isn't on their side. It's a slim chance, but I still live in hope. That was from Christopher. Well, look, with some news this morning, he was on our show actually a few weeks ago. Kieran Maguire, very good on the football finance side of things. I don't think this pushes things either way, but he just basically said this. More speculation. This was a post that he put out this morning in relation to the Man United share price. More speculative buying drives further growth of almost 8% in Manchester United share price today, meaning that market cap is now $485 million in a week. And it posts a graph basically saying that, it's gone up in the past 5 days. It's tracking from like effectively $15.30 to $18.30. So it's a $3 increase. Whilst that share price keeps going up, I mean, I don't know at what point it hits it, but whilst that share price keeps going up, the question has to be, at what point do we get some clarity on what's actually going on? I think there has to become a point where something has to be said. But look, as I said, I think maybe I hope the share price is going up because people think there's going to be a sale. But you could argue the share price is actually going up because the stadium might get built as well. So, I don't know. I think when it comes to the sale of Manchester United, I'm very much of the opinion that, you know, what will be, and we're probably going to end up sticking with what we've got. Keel, I'm not talking about Dan Ashworth again. We'll talk about Dan Ashworth, Keel, very, very quickly, because it just gets very boring for everybody else. We never should have employed Dan Ashworth. I think it's the best thing that Ineos ever did, sacking him. I think the guy is an absolute bang average director of football when you look at his career. He gets credit for signings he didn't even make at Brighton and Newcastle. He has a Gareth Southgate obsession, and ultimately, you're fired. If I'm employing you and you say, what about Southgate? I'm like, I'm not saying any words, button, Mr. Burns, press the button, release the hounds. I have got nothing good about Dan Ashworth to say. Absolutely nothing. If you recommend Gareth Southgate for a job, release the hounds. It's as simple as that. We move on. Okay, let me talk to you about Xerxes. So Fabrizio Romano basically talking about Joshua Xerxes and saying that there is a likelihood that Italian clubs will be back in for him in January. It's a bit like deja vu. A bit like Beyonce. It's a bit like deja vu. I think Mainoo is the more travelled conversation because I think our midfield is a joke and we want to see Mainoo in there. But I think with regards to Xerxes...
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
I find it harder to make a case for Xerxes to be in a Manchester United side. I think it's really difficult to say it. I think on the weekend, we're going to see a player I think needs to start sit on the bench. Cunha is going to be sat on the bench at the weekend for Mason Mount. Some people agree with that, some people don't. But my point is, nobody is going to be on the preview show at 8 o'clock live tonight saying, where's Xerxes? So I think with Xerxes, at some point, it's a little bit like, you're hungry and it's an all-you-can-eat takeaway and you get loads of dishes and you're happy. And then you look over and you go, oh, I wish I'd got some egg fried rice and chips, which is a weird combination, but I don't know. Maybe I wish I'd got some, beef bourguignon. And I feel that's a little bit like what it is with Xerxes. It's like we've got enough options and then we see something else we like and go, oh, I wish I'd got that. But there's no way you're going to be able to eat it all. It's just greed. And I think with Xerxes, this is a prime example of Well, let's go back to what we were speaking about the midfield. A mistake. An obvious mistake. Where my concern with Manchester United is at the moment in relation to our recruitment, and Paul Scholes was on about this saying, you know, there's nobody in that football club who seems to know what a Manchester United player is. There doesn't seem to be anybody in that football club who understands squad ethics in relation to what you need for a Premier League season. Now, Amorim has never managed in the Premier League, so I can sort of forgive that. Like, it takes time. The Portuguese league beyond three or four teams is just not that competitive. The intensity won't be the same. The scrutiny is not the same. So Amorim is always going to be learning, and it's very difficult to learn when you're thrown into it. Now that he's had a pre-season, I think this will be his first season that he actually learns about the demands of the Premier League, because what he does in pre-season will set him up for the rest of the season, whereas last season he inherited it. But I do look at it from a recruitment team, and I go, okay, if you can give Amorim some leeway, what about the rest of the people on that panel, on that board? Because I look at Xerxes and I go, this was obvious. This reminds me of Jadon Sancho when he came back under Ten Hag, and people were going, oh, the star boy has returned. The star boy has returned. And I remember, like, he did okay on pre-season, and people were saying, I think he's going to be a number 10. I remember having the conversation going, and at that time, you know, if Sancho was playing well, great. But I remember saying at the time, there's no way Sancho gets any minutes under Ten Hag. They've had a fallout. Even if you believe they've made friends, Ten Hag loves Rashford. Ten Hag loves Antony. Ten Hag loves Bruno. Ten Hag loves Garnacho. Where does Jadon Sancho start? Where does he even get minutes? And lo and behold, he was loaned off to Chelsea. And the same thing was Xerxes. You could see it coming a mile off. He actually was injured for the last 2 months of the season, last season. We then have Mason Mount fit, Cunha and Mbeumo come in. Bruno has to go to midfield. And you go, well, I don't need a rocket scientist to tell me that Amorim is going to favour Mbeumo, Cunha, Mount and Bruno and Ahmad before he plays Xerxes. And here we are. And you look at it and you go, there has always been interest in Xerxes. There was interest in Xerxes since he signed for Manchester United. Did we keep him because he got injured? Because he was injured for most of July and August. Was that why we kept him? I don't know. Because to me, you can say, well, we needed him for the numbers. We never needed him for the numbers. We're only playing one game a week. We don't need that many number 10s. So again, I sort of look at it and go, was it because we couldn't sell him? Or was it because we were stupid and didn't think we would need to sell him? Because I like Xerxes. I like Xerxes. I actually think it's a shame because after a bad first 6 months, when he decided to stay in January, he actually started playing well till he got injured. But he's just got no future at the football club. There's no way now, unless something incredible happens, there's no future for him at Manchester United. And again, I just think it comes down to piss poor planning, because I'm like, we've got way too many number 10s, not enough midfielders. And you know, I mean, people say Xerxes can play as a striker. I don't know that he can, you know. I mean, I think that's why he's here. I think he probably is here as the backup to Sesko. But then I don't think we'd use him as the backup to Sesko. I think he'd put Cunha there. I think Amorim's already shown that he would play Cunha or Mbeumo up front rather than Xerxes. Xerxes is just surplus to requirements, isn't he? In many ways, his situation is worse than Maynou's. And you question why we kept him. Again, just poor planning, as far as I'm concerned. Island Boy says, Sir Jim has the opportunity to actually back Amorim with giving him a top midfielder in January. He will show he is doing something different, easy tapping. I'm happy to go back to that, mate. And I'd love to be wrong in relation to what I'm about to say. But Man United buying a midfielder in January at the value that we need, I would say next to no chance. Financially, I don't think we've got the money. And you're going to need 70 million minimum to get Wharton, Anderson, Belaiba out of their respective clubs in the middle of the season. We won't have that money. We just won't have that money. And we won't be able to commit to it not knowing the unknown. And the unknown categorically will be, we don't know whether we're going to be in Europe next May or not. So as I said to you last night, there are many people far more educated on the finances of Man United than me who believe that if we don't qualify for Europe this season, next summer will be an absolute, well, it might be the summer we thought this summer was going to be in relation to lack of funds and exodus from United. So, I mean, maybe that is why they're trying to negotiate with the likes of Harry Maguire and Casemiro, because they're like, if the shit hits the fan and we're not in Europe and we've got no money, it's cheaper to keep a Harry Maguire around than it is to try and rebuild a team. Things could get worse, basically. So I don't see a scenario where we get, a £70 million midfielder in January. It can be done. It can be done if you're Chelsea, and God, I think many of us crave that type of ownership, but unlikely with United. Somebody just said, what about the James Garner story? I mean, look, this should not be on a United Stand news show, but I will answer it because somebody in the chat asked about it. Oh, I've got me coffee. This is now a feature. Basically, what do we got? So, James Garner. Man United want to bring James Garner back to the club 3 years after selling him for £9 million. Honestly, the source is not great.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
So that's, that's the start on that. How old is James Garner, by the way? I mean, you never say never with Manchester United, but James Garner is a player that we never should have sold in the first place, and we should have given him a chance at United, because where we are now, he'd be better than three of the midfielders that we've already got. He's playing better than Casemiro. He's playing better than Ugarte, and he's better than Bruno. Now, whether he's at the level we need, that's something completely different. But look, the source is terrible. And I like Garner, but I don't think it's the thing about these sort of signings is I like James Garner. We never should have let him go. He's done a good job at Everton, but where's the cue for him from Spurs, Newcastle, Villa? You know, that's, I want Man United to be buying players that Liverpool want, Arsenal want. That's when, you know, Cunha and Mbeumo are the right type of signings. Because Liverpool and Arsenal fans are not going to acknowledge that they really wanted Mbeumo and Cunha. But if they'd signed them in the summer, they'd have gone, oh, yeah, that's a good signing. With James Garner, with all due respect, he's better than three of the four midfielders we've got. But there's not going to be a big queue of clubs looking to sign him. And I think, I've said it a few times, we're just like Everton. We're becoming the new Everton. I mean, would that not be literally becoming Everton, signing one of their midfielders that we didn't want anymore? So, yeah, the source is crap. I'd be stunned if United did it. But just to give it a little bit of airway, that's my thoughts on that. This is just a couple of topical things. First of all, Lenny Yorrow has officially made the 25-man shortlist for the 2025 Golden Boy Award. That is a positive, a positive there for Lenny Yorrow. Amazing that he got dropped for Harry Maguire, wasn't it? Even though he did nothing wrong, but we'll leave it there. And Frankie de Jong has signed a new contract until 2029 with Barcelona. So it's 2025. He signed a new contract with Barcelona until 2029, another 4 years of Frankie de Jong at Barcelona. What's the relevancy of that? Absolutely none, other than to say he is a player that Manchester United spent a whole summer looking at. And yeah, what could have been? Well, I say what could have been. We did print the T-shirts, but to this day, I don't think anybody really understands what we were involved in with that at all. Gazzetta dello Sport are reporting that Turkey forward Yıldız continues to push for an improved contract at Juventus. However, other clubs are circulating, including Manchester United. Yıldız was a player that we were looking at from Juventus in the summer, or we were linked to in the summer. And it's a little bit like Fofana at Lyon. We've been linked to him as well. But, you know, you're never going to stop Man United being linked to these types of players. But what have we just spent our time talking on? You know, we can't logically spend time or oxygen looking at Man United against Man United signing attackers or, you know, people like Yıldız when we're having the conversation about we've got way too many attackers. The way we play is we use attacking fullbacks and number 10s. We don't use wingers. So it's very, very unlikely that we're going to buy those types of players. If we're going to buy number 10s, then, well, we're not, because we've just got loads. We've just been talking about Xerxes there. I think the only area of interest for Manchester United, and I'm not saying that we don't need to look at a Yıldız or people like that. You could argue that we do, but we couldn't afford to buy a midfielder in the summer. That's the bottom line. We couldn't afford to do it. We were desperately trying to get Conor Gallagher on loan. We couldn't afford to do that. God knows what we were trying to do with Belaba. We ran out of money in the summer. So we're not in Europe. We've got to fund a £2 billion stadium. We clearly have got financial issues. Now, there'll be loads of people saying, well, no, they can do this, they can do that. They can do this, they can do that. It doesn't mean they will do this or they will do that. So, look, I'd love to think that United are lining up four or five players across that squad where we do need to improve, because I think we do it. But I think it's in United's interests to just circulate stories about midfielders for the next 9 months and then next summer just buy one midfielder and go, we've done it. Now, that's like a pin in the universe. It won't fill it. But I think that's the only realistic thing we're going to do. And I think I'm depressing myself. Look, I think that all we can do is just acknowledge the fact that we made a huge mistake this summer. And there are no guarantees that next summer we'll get anywhere near the likes of Wharton, Belaba or Anderson, even though some United fans think we'll buy both. I don't see where the funds for that come from. And I don't see what the attraction with Man United is going to be, because next summer, if we're not in Europe, that's 2 years of not being in Europe, which means it's 2 years of not playing well, which means it's 2 years of whoever else is in the race probably being far more attractive, whether that's Spurs, Newcastle, Liverpool, whatever. We have to buy a midfielder and we have to start doing well on the pitch. I think that it's a two-way street. If we want to get the good midfielder, we need to be in Europe. But to be in Europe, it's going to be really difficult because we didn't get a midfielder. It's as I say, there should be an apology to Amrin. There should be an apology to the fans. They made a huge mistake in the summer, and I find it crazy that the only scrutiny is with Sir Jim Radcliffe and Ruben Amrin, when I'd love to know what went on in between. What if Ruben Amrin was like, I really, really want a midfielder, and Sir Jim Radcliffe was like, get a midfielder, and then Berarda and Wilcox and Favel messed up? We don't know what happened, but a mistake of huge proportion was made in the summer. And I think now, if you want to get Wharton or you want to get Belaba, The only way I see it happening is, well, one, where's the money coming from? And two, what's the pull? Well, the money comes from Europe and the pull is Europe. So somehow Ruben Amorim has got to get us into Europe with this team to get the midfielder he should have got in the summer. I suppose that's how I would put it. Let's have a look at some of your comments before I go on to the next bit. No. I want to go back to someone here. Liam says, speaking like we didn't spend over 200 million on forwards. Oh, Liam, I'm not speaking like that at all. You're typing like you're a bloody moron. What are you talking about, Leon? Liam, I'm not speaking like we didn't spend 200 million on this. Maybe you're new. Apologise. I will say you're not a moron. Maybe you're a brand new viewer who's only turned in for the last 60 seconds and you're commenting on that. That's the only thing I can understand, because we're not speaking like we haven't spent 200 million pounds on forwards. We've completely acknowledged that. We spoke about it last night. We speak about it most shows. Why did we spend 200 million pounds on two number 10s and a striker and not buy on the midfield? Somebody still needs to apologize, Liam. Somebody still made a big mistake. It doesn't matter. We ran out of money at the end of the summer. We couldn't buy a midfielder because we'd spent it all on the attack. Somebody somewhere made a massive mistake, Liam. That's exactly what we're saying. We're talking exactly the same thing. What you're doing is, in some warped way, you're trying to defend the club and say, no, you're talking like we didn't spend 200 million. Did we buy a midfielder? No. You're talking shit then, aren't you? Unless you've got a comeback. Anyway, we'll go back to what Keel was going to say. It could be worse. He says, this club is going round in circles. No vision, no plan, no cash, no common sense. See you at the weekend. Yeah, I think that's probably the best comment you've made today. 100%. I think the lack of vision, the lack of plan. There are people out there who genuinely want this ownership and plan to work. But unfortunately, there are people out there who scrutinize things and go, I want to believe, but what about that? What about that? What about that? And as we were just talking with Liam there, yeah, we did spend 200 million pounds in the summer and we managed to mess that up, didn't we? I mean, it's just so, I mean, I literally said this morning, yesterday morning. I like Cunha, I like Mbeumo, and I like Sesko, but one of them shouldn't be here and a top midfielder should. But we're a better balanced team then. Now, who was behind that decision? It probably should be known. If I was Ruben Amorim and I made that call, I would probably have to come out and say it publicly. I don't think he did. I don't think he made that call. I think he was promised things he didn't get. I think they probably said, don't worry, we'll still get you a midfielder. And then they didn't. I don't know how they didn't understand they were never going to get a midfielder, but look, I don't know. Something clearly went wrong, I think. Well, I know. Jack B says, past 10 years, midfield has been pure neglect. Look at Arsenal and Liverpool compared in the same period. Stagnant stupidity and pure incompetence. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Was it not Fabrizio who said it? That maybe it was Fabrizio, maybe it was Ornstein. It was somebody who said it like the week after the transfer window closed. And it was words to the effect that they felt that they didn't need a midfielder. And then it got instantly rebutted by the fact that we negotiated with Baleba and we tried to get Conor Gallagher. But there was a story that came out around the time the window closed that the board felt that we didn't need a midfielder. And then it was instantly ridiculed by, well, why were you talking to Baleba then? Why were you talking to Conor Gallagher? So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we look for a loan in January, says Mikey. Well, the truth is, Mikey, if they go for a Sabitzer type loan in January, what does that say? Vision? I would do it. I 100% would do it. But what does that say about the plan? You know, if you're going for a loan deal in January, you sort of expose the lack of planning, the desperation. I understand why you might do a loan deal in January if you have a couple of injuries, but if we do a loan deal in January because we basically messed up in the summer, it exposes the mistake. Nyan says, stock price is surging, really surging. There's got to be something going on. I wouldn't say it's surging. mate. I wouldn't say. Let's see when the New York Stock Exchange opens up at 2 o'clock today, if it keeps going up. Look, Ben Jacobs is on the show at 2 o'clock today. I think that's a question we need to ask of him, and you know what's happening with that. But I want to believe there's going to be a sale. But I think on last night's show, when we're talking about Ineos and the Glazers moving closer towards starting building New Trafford, I think when that happens, I just don't think a sale will happen. But look, what do we know? Thank you very much for that. Simply Red, a hope loving player by manager, so unprofessional. Okay. Ian O'Connell's in the house. Hope you're doing well. Would it ever be the case that current owners get the planning, et cetera, over the line and ready for the new owners to build a stadium as part of the deal? I mean, it could be. It could be. But I would side on that's very optimistic, because it just feels like that's too good to be true. But look, it's like I've bought houses in the past. I haven't bought many houses. I bought a house once where it wasn't why we bought the house, but it was a 3-bedroom house, and it had planning permission to build on the side of the house. And when we went to look at the house, we were told the planning permission's already in place with the local council. We never had any intention of doing it, but it was in place if you wanted to do it, which I suppose to some people could be more, could make it more attractive. So if you're buying Old Trafford, if you're buying Man United, and then they say, look, the plan's ready to go as well, it probably does make it more appealing. I mean, it's a theory, Ian. I'd love it to be a reality, but it's certainly a theory. Dennis says, I had a look at United's chart and I will be shorting it to help it come down. It's manipulated and there is no reason for it to be that high. Watch it go back down to $15. Mark my words, says Dennis. Yeah, well, we're talking about the United share price here, aren't we? So I'm going to quick look at it. I mean, the New York Stock Exchange is obviously closed at the moment. I would agree. If that's gone up from $15 to $18, and look, we don't need to be financial experts for this, if that's gone up from $15 to $18 in the last week, which apparently it has, there is actually no reason for that. There is no logical reason for that other than a tweet from Turki Alashake. There's been no talks between the Glazers and the UAE. Man United are not aware of this. So literally, I don't know. It was... The share price is always, Nick P says it was almost $18 in July. The share price is always high in the summer because of transfers and stuff. It's always is. I remember with Mourinho, it was high. So, yeah, I mean, good news tends to boost the share price. So if people think the club's going to get sold, then it boosts the share price. It's dangerous, isn't it? I said this last week and some people said, you don't know what you're talking about. And I said, I used the words market manipulation. And I'm not saying that anybody's manipulating the market, but you can see how easy it is to manipulate the market. There is no reason for our share price to have gone up by $3 in a week. There's absolutely none. We're 10th in the league. We're not in Europe. There isn't a reason for it to have gone up. And I think, you know, you'd be wildly naive if you don't think it's something to do with a certain tweet. But whether there's anything behind that, I don't know. Who do you think starts at the weekend, says Nate? That's the preview show tonight. We'll be live at 8 o'clock. We've got Ben Jacobs on the show at 2 o'clock. So we'll get into all the latest details on what's going on with share prices and everything like that. And then I'm live with you at 8 o'clock as well for the preview show, where we can talk more about it. Look, I think that in many ways, this international break has been a little bit like, a little bit like the summer in ways without transfers. I think the conversation has been, I think when there aren't games, there's this opportunity for positive people to be overly positive and negative people to be overly negative. And we need these events to take these theories and prove them right or wrong. So some people really think that, yeah, we were so good against Sunderland, we're back, we're going to bounce back, and, you know, everything's going to be great, and we're going to do really, really well. And then there's other people going, it's Sunderland, we were shit against Brentford the week before, the next bad result's around the corner, Amrim needs to go. And then there are other different niches around all that. We need this game at the weekend. We need the Brighton game. We need these next four games. That they couldn't be constructed in a better way. It could be harder, but I don't think if we were playing Liverpool, Arsenal, Newcastle, Man City, I don't think you learn anything out of that because they're all better than us. I think if you're playing Burnley, Leeds, Sunderland, and I don't know, Everton, do you really learn a lot out of that if you win a few? These next four games are perfect. Three of them are away. One of them's at home. Two of them are Spurs and Liverpool. Two of them are Forest and Brighton. You should be, if you're a team on the up, you should come out of those four games, 12 points. You should come out with somewhere between 7 and 10 if you're on the up. If you're on the way back down again, you're going to come out with 5 or below. If you're just around the middle, you're going to get somewhere between 6 and 8. So I think it's going to be very interesting over the next four games. And I'm ready for it because conversations run dry in my mind when it's just based on theory. And I'm a little bit bored of theory around, oh, you know, United are back and, you know, United are finished. And I think the evidence will happen, which is why I think it's so important to talk about failings in the summer that are going to cause us problems this season if things go badly, because I think they are factors. When you look at, I mean, I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if we had bought, and it's hard to know who, if we had bought Belaba and he had done really well, I think the mindset would probably still be, let's play Belaba and Mainoo. I still think that Mainoo thing would be going on, but maybe we'd be better. Maybe we'd be feeling more optimistic. And that's a shame. But the reality is we are where we are. And if bad results come, people will focus in on that. I will focus in on that. So I think that I have confidence about the Liverpool game because I think time and time again, we've seen Man United get written off in these types of games. And I've seen every Liverpool game and there's a vulnerability there. And we can defend well. And if we can defend well, we've got a great chance of at least a point. So I think that could be good. Then you've got Brighton at home and you could have some real confidence from that. Get a result there. You go to Forest away. They're not that good this season. And then suddenly Spurs becomes a bonus. Flip side, you go to Liverpool, they bounce back and they destroy us. Brighton come and are confident and get a result. And then we're in big shit. So it's in the balance and I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. I think it's felt like a long transfer window, this one. This is the worst one for me. Island Boy says, Freightliner being forced to sell land by the government, what the Glazers wanted since 2016. They could not do it until they got Sir Jim to do it for them. Yeah. And Robert McCormack says, more chance of Jazim being real than a sale. Yeah, I think I do agree with Robert on this one. I think, and I agree with Island Boy as well. The reality is that this this regeneration project has been in the works since 2016. So Jim Ratcliffe was nowhere near Man United at that point. This is a Glazer project that they needed somebody with governmental support to push through. And Sir Jim Ratcliffe has been the vehicle for them to do that. It's a marriage made in heaven to make a lot of money, as we know. Gaz says, I think we'll draw at best. I'd take a draw at Anfield. I don't think we're at the point of the season where a point's going to cost us too much if we go and beat Brighton. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a draw myself, but we'll talk all about that at 8 o'clock. Take your minds back before the City game. We thought the same, remember, says Jim. And yeah, but you know what? That was straight after an international break. That was an away game. It's difficult. The stats don't lie. It's not very good to go away from home after the international break. But on the other side of the thing, Liverpool have just lost three games in a row and they've had very little time on the training ground because it's the international break. So there'll still be uncertainty there. And we did play well at the Etihad for 20 minutes. It was, you know, if Bruno hadn't lost Foden, that game could have gone very, very differently. We were in the game. It was a very good 20 minutes for us and a defensive error. That's the problem at Anfield, is how long can we keep them out? If we give them a goal, you know what happens when the heads drop. We've got to stay in that game. So I'm previewing the game here. Thanks everyone for watching. Just a question there. New Christmas jumper. Yeah, let me just get that. So it's available for pre-order now. It's literally on the website from about half an hour ago. Get yours now. Pre-order from the website, United Stand, Shopify. Check it out there. When they're gone, they're gone. They're knitted. Thanks everyone for watching. We're back at 2 o'clock with Ben Jacobs. Don't miss that. And I'm back with you at 8 o'clock for the preview. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. I'll speak to you on the next one.